magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Tuesday, June 6, 2017. This Saturday's the day, everyone. I hope you get your Ivan Parker wristbands. We're not giving out tickets. It's wristbands so we can easily identify you and make sure you're in the right section, whether you're going to be part of the general open seating, $10 when purchased in advance, or the $25, which includes a meet and greet with Ivan, a reception at 6 p.m., followed by the 7 o'clock VIP seating. So that's all happening this Saturday at Lincoln Square, right across from the Great News Radio Center, and we'll be facing the food court. Lots of seating still available, and we hope you'll bring out your friends and family members. And remember, the Singing Men of GNN will be opening up the evening in our very own men's choir, and then we'll be, I think, three or four selections as backup to Ivan Parker. So it was a lot of fun last year when we did it, and we're expecting all of you to be blessed again this year. So get your wristbands, and you can find out more at our website, greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org, and we hope and look forward to seeing you this Saturday night. I have two special friends in the studio. One I've known a long time. I call him our roaming radio reporter, Huey Freeman of the Decatur Herald and Review, but he's here as a friend to share somebody that he was very excited to hear some weeks back and has learned a lot about this individual and he and his wife's special ministry in Cambodia. But before I ask Huey to do a little more of a formal introduction, I want to read a passage out of Luke, familiar to many of you. It's one of the parables that Jesus taught about the cost of following him. And it's something that when I got to know Brett a little better, he said, that's a passage that God has used in my life a number of times. And he's referred back to it. And I thought, well, let's share it with our listeners because I think it'll set a foundation of some of the ministry that's going on in Cambodia as Brent and his wife Susan continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully there. But it's entitled The Cost of Following Jesus. It's Luke chapter 9, and I'll read verses 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God." Wow, a powerful passage with a lot of meaning, probably applications for all of us throughout our lives, but a special passage, and we're going to find out why in just a moment. But Huey, thank you for being available today and to help co-host this program. I know you've been ministered to by this couple, and you've learned a lot about them from a mutual friend you serve with at the church, their son. But tell us who we have in the studio and why you felt passionate about introducing them to the Great News Radio listening family.
Well, I first met Brett and Susan Vandermolen at our church at Meadowbrook Community Church a couple of weeks ago. They were visiting, but I felt like I already knew them to some extent because their son Aaron is the youth minister, and he would speak about them very highly, about how they sold everything they had. They had a successful construction business, a house framing business, and they had an excellent house in Indiana. And they were willing to get rid of all their stuff and follow the Lord to go to Cambodia, which many of us think, as Mr. Vandermolen just said, is kind of a dark place in some ways.
Well, we know of the killing fields. I mean,
absolutely.
It kind of goes hand in hand when you think of Cambodia.
That's what you think. And that wasn't that long ago. That was in the 1970s. So when I heard them at church speaking of all the miraculous things that have occurred and how they made up their minds they're going to follow Jesus wherever he leads them, and he took them to this incredible ministry involving an orphanage where they're rescuing babies and children on a regular basis, an enormous school where they're able to teach the Bible to children in Cambodia. So I would just like to introduce Mr. Vandermolen, and could you tell us a little bit how this whole adventure got started?
Let me jump in, too. Was this something where you and Susan, your wife, maybe many years ago said, Lord, we'll go anywhere but Cambodia, and then that's the next thing. Oh, it seems like he's leading us to Cambodia. That's kind of what many people will pray, anywhere but, and that's where God sends them. How did you find yourselves both being led to go to Cambodia?
We didn't even understand where Cambodia was. Mm-hmm. We understood some of the stories that we were shielded from our parents during those times in the 70s of the killing fields, and we didn't even understand what Cambodian was. It started quite a long time ago. My wife and I were high school sweethearts. We dated in high school, and then we got married after high school. And about a year after we were married, we went to what they called a full gospel businessmen's meeting, where we listened to businessmen give their testimony on what they did in their lives and what God was doing through them. And at that time, we weren't really serving God wholeheartedly. Yeah, we went to church. We were part of that. But we weren't really dedicating our lives to the Lord.
How old are you two at this point?
We're only about 21, 22 okay. years old. And so we stood there that night and surrendered our lives to God once again. She was born and raised Catholic and Methodist, and I was born and raised Christian Reformed. And God just pulled us together, and we knew God was doing something in us in a great way. We didn't understand it at the time, but we stood together and said, God, use this life for your glory.
Now, were you married at this time? You're
both 21? Yeah, we were one year married. We were already married for 1 year.
So shortly after high school. Now, were you both praying that you wanted a godly partner to do ministry together with?
You know, not really.
Okay.
Although, as the man of the house, I did say to my wife, prior to being married, that we will serve under our church as the Christian Reformed Church because she needed to follow me. Mm-hmm. And she surrendered that and was willing to do that. But then God took us in a whole other adventure, and it was something that we were able to start together. And that's what's so great about it. We started that together. And from there, we started in our Assembly of God Church there in DeMott, Indiana, and we started to just starting our own walk with the Lord.
Now, I know Susan, we had hoped, was going to be here, but I think she's with the grandbabies
today. Yes, yes, she gets to take care of the grandbaby, and that goes over everything.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
It trumpeted the morning program.
Yes, it does.
Now, I know, Huey, you had mentioned something special about Susan, that she felt a unique calling on her life early on, and so who wants to share a little of that story?
I'll go ahead and share that. Actually, when Susan was in second grade, she really felt that God was really speaking to her even then, even though she didn't have a great understanding of who God was, but God was still speaking to her, and she was heartbroken for children that didn't have mothers and fathers. Mm-hmm. And she didn't understand that, but she carried that to the point where she thought maybe even she would have to be a nun or something like that to follow that calling that God placed in her life at a very young age. Mm-hmm. And as we became married, and we were married for that 1 year, she also shared with me about the need for maybe even adopting a child or having children. So we shared that with it. But what was so amazing, for 4 years we tried to have children and we couldn't have children. We prayed and we trusted God, and through that, God miraculously healed my wife. Mm-hmm. We have medical documents on what God had done in her life to heal her. Well, since then, we've had 4 beautiful children. They're adults now, and they gave us our beautiful grandbaby. But there was still a need to serve those that didn't have mothers and fathers.
Yeah, no, in fact, one of the sons, Aaron, played Joseph last year at our our Great News Radio theater troupe debut, when we told the Christmas story, and your daughter-in-law was Mary, and then your grandbaby, I believe, was the baby Jesus. That was, I don't know how many months old. It was like a perfect baby Jesus, maybe a couple months old, that was a part of that. So it's nice to have you, even though you crossed the border and kind of came right on over. You're visiting grandchildren oftentimes when you can.
Yes.
When you're not in Cambodia.
Absolutely. I mean, we get as much time as we can with our children when we're here in the country, in the States.
Didn't Susan have some kind of dream or vision of a foreign country at one time?
Yes. Well, see, that all started in 1994. We were actually serving in Michigan. We were living in Michigan at the time, and we were able to go on our first missions trip to the Philippines. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, that's where God really birthed missions into our heart. And because of that experience, we carried that all the way to 2007. Through that time, we were very faithful to our church, very faithful to the family, very faithful even our commitment with God. And as we continue to serve God, He continued to birth that love for missions in our heart even deeper. I started my construction business back in 1999. I was successful in it. I was a residential framer. And then all of a sudden in 2007, that burden of missions just got heavier and heavier. My wife started having dreams of us being on the foreign field. And I was even having dreams of me speaking in churches and speaking at events on the foreign field. We had no idea what that looked like. But we just continued to serve and to search our hearts. And then finally, it came to a point where we couldn't carry it no more. It was time. So at that time in 2007, we said, God, we surrender all to You. We surrender our home to You. We surrender our job to You. We surrender everything to follow You. And when that led us to our Assembly of God World Missions headquarters in Springfield, Missouri, where we got appointed as missionary associates. I wasn't even a licensed pastor, but I knew we had to go. And we took three of our four children with us, and we didn't even understand where we were going. I know it sounds kind of strange, but see, there's a process to it. And through that process, God was opening a door. And each time a door was open, we made another step of faith. And to the point where that invitation came, will you guys be willing to go to Cambodia through our Assembly of God World Missions? And we said, yes. We don't understand where Cambodia is or understand what Cambodia, you know, what we would do there. But yes, we are willing to go because it felt right. And when I say it felt right, it felt what was God putting in our hearts to do. So like I said, we took three of our four children. They were in high school at that time. And we took them to Cambodia. We served under other missionaries there. And while we were there, God just birthed mission so deep in our heart, there was no way that we could ever go back to what we did. Mark, I'm going to backtrack a minute here because of a dream that my wife had. And I know that dream came from God because it's so real to her even to this day. Mm-hmm. It was a dream that she had that we were on a foreign field. We went to this place, and it was an orphanage, and we walked across that yard, and she recognized the green grass and the buildings that were around. And a team had come, a team from the States had come to help us. And they said, what can we do, and what can we do to help serve? And we said, well, let's go talk to Brett. And they said, well, where is Brett? Well, come along with me. And she brought the team to a building. It was a white building. And I was sitting on the floor. I had children around me. And God was using this time. And Susan said, he's right here. And when Brett was sitting there, I had what they call a duum on my head. It's a rice hat. So she knew that was Southeast Asia. It was in the Asian area. And because of that, we continued to seek out. And when we heard Cambodia and we knew that was in the Asia area, we knew that was the right direction. Mm-hmm. While we got in Cambodia in 2009 for the very first time, one of our missionaries there said, hey, we're going down to our orphanage. Would you like to come down there with us and just visit that? When we walked across that yard, the Holy Spirit brought it back to my wife's remembrance. Do you remember this place? Mm-hmm. And it was the exact place of the green grass, the white building. And that white building actually wasn't even built at that time. It came years later. Mm-hmm. And that building is our chapel where we minister to the children at. And God is just so faithful on those things that He brings those things back to our remembrance. And we're so thankful for that.
And when you walked into that building the first time, did you just kind of fall on your knees and say, Lord, I am unworthy. Forgive me for any doubt or fear or trepidation.
Oh, absolutely. Because I'm telling you, when you step out into faith, it seems like you're stepping into total darkness. But God has a plan, and He opens those doors, and He turns that light on for you, and you see the plan He has for you. And that's just the amazing part about the faithfulness that God calls you. There's an act of obedience that needs to take place. There needs to be the obedience to walk when the doors open. And that's what we had done. In 2012, on Christmas Day, the keys were handed over to my wife and I and said, "Here, run this."
The keys to the orphanage?
The keys to the orphanage were handed to us, and they said, "Would you be willing to run this?" And we knew already that that was our job. That was our purpose, to be there, because God already revealed that to us. We were waiting for the time of that release. So that came on that Christmas Day in 2012.
Brett, could you explain to us, too, where do these orphans come from? And explain to us some of the stories that we've heard on children who otherwise would not have survived that God has led you to rescue.
Well, since that time in 2012, when we arrived there, we had 60 children in the orphanage. We graduated them out of a school that we have there as well that still is serving 430 children. So some of our numbers fluctuate because of kids graduating. But just in that 1 year, we graduated 20 students out, but we rescued 15 more children. And God has just done amazing work in that because, see, we don't go looking for the children. We pray and say, "God, if there's a child out there that needs a home, that needs a family, bring him to us." So we believe that God has directed the paths of each child that comes. We have taken in abandoned children. Just this past year, we've taken in an abandoned 11-month-old baby that was found on the beach. He was bug-bitten. He had ammonia. He couldn't even cry. And the authorities called us and said, "Would you take this child and would you care for him?" We said, "Yes, we'll take him in." And when we brought that child in, we started to nurture him. And my wife, the mother's heart that she has, she said, "I need to take this baby even into my own home to help nurture it and heal the brokenness that has been from the abandonment." We nurtured that child in our own personal home for 2 weeks. Until it was healthy enough to place it into the orphanage under the care of our dorm moms. God has given us this child, and we were able to name him. His name is David. He's a spry little 14-month-old baby now, running around and just enjoying life. And we just look and say, "God, where would this child have been if you didn't take two people out of a small town and send them?" And we have many more stories just like that one, where we've taken in children from abuse situations. We've taken in two young boys that their father actually died and got sick. And now they're learning what God is to them and what Jesus Christ has done for them. And they're going to our school. They're getting an education. So we're excited about that. But we're excited about what God does each and every day, just because we're able to be there.
Well, I know there's many more stories. In fact, we're going to have you join us for the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends to share some more of those God sightings, the unique way that you're being able to serve the children and the families in Cambodia. With us, in case you just tuned in, is Brett Vandenmolen, and he and his wife Susan are part of the Assembly of God World Missions. And you raise your own support, and yet I know you're also raising support for this orphanage. And so how would that work? Maybe somebody he's tuning in and there's a softening of their heart and they say, "You know, I have some resources. I want to help some children. It sounds like this couple is doing a unique work. They're faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. How can I get involved? Is there a website or a place for them to find out more about this ministry?"
Yes, there is. We have our own personal website, www.trainupkids.com.
So trainupkids.com.
Yes. And also we have AG Giving, ag.org, giving. And look into the missionary box, put my name in, Brett Vandenmolen, and that will direct you to where we are serving in Cambodia. And there you will be able to link to the Scenicville Children's Home Giving.
Mark, I really want to say that I have met many inspiring Christians and read about many inspiring Christians, but Brett and Susan are at the top of my list. Of
the real deal?
The real deal of people who have stepped way out of the boat and stay out of the boat, and they're not doing it out of any ideas they have. They're doing it out of faith in Jesus Christ.
I think tomorrow I'm going to open up the program with something that I took down some notes as we were kind of show prep for today. Deeper walk, staying faithful, and being obedient. And we really didn't get to come back to that passage that Jesus talked about, leaving everything and looking forward and putting your hands to the plow. We'll share a little more about that tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But one more time, let me mention a website for you to go to learn more. It's trainupkids.org, trainupkids.org. And we hope you'll feel a part of serving with them or through them to the hurting children and families in Cambodia. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you, Huey, and thank you, Brett, for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And we'll have you back tomorrow, and we'll talk some more God sightings and how our listeners can get involved in serving in Cambodia. Now, there are also other ways to get involved locally here at Great News Radio, and I have a sheet listing five different items. We launch into our English conversation class for 6 weeks on Monday and Thursdays from 10:30 to 11:30. And we're always looking for more volunteers. So if you'd like to help or know more, give us a call, 217-367-7777, or stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. And under the About tab, you'll see a link for English conversation class, which will give you more specifics. Now, this Saturday, June 10th, Ivan Parker and his son Josh are coming to town to put on a concert here at Lincoln Square, joined by the Singing Men of GNN. There's still room for you to sign up. And you can also learn more about that concert at greatnewsradio.org or by calling us at 217-367-7777. Also, next Tuesday, June 13th, we're launching a six-session series on disciple makers. It'll be hosted here at the Great News Radio Center, facilitated by Pastor Jason Schiffo, and it'll go from 6:15 to 7:30, covering three Tuesday nights in June, taking a break on the 4th of July, which is a Tuesday, and then the following three Tuesday nights in July. And here's another FYI, Saturday, June 17th, 1 p.m., we'll have auditions for It's a Wonderful Life, as the Great News Radio Theater Troupe will be putting on this drama, which will be broadcast in December. So we'll have auditions. I think we need close to 30 different voices, so maybe you'll be a part of the Great News Radio Theater Troupe's production of It's a Wonderful Life. And then finally, Saturday, June 24th at 10 a.m., there's going to be a ping pong tournament here hosted by Great News Radio at Lincoln Square, and we're looking for some advanced and elite players. And there's some really, really good local players, so that'll be happening on Saturday, June 24th, and you can find out more and register here at the Great News Radio Center, typically open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5 p.m. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.